and welcome to LID Radio Podcast. Today on the show, we have Jim N.R. Dale. So Jim is the author of Weather or Not, The Personal and Commercial Impacts of Weather and Climate. Now, Jim is the founder and consultant meteorologist at the British Weather Services, the UK's leading independent weather operative. So we talked to Jim today about his recently released book, Weather or Not. So let's take a look. So Jim, the book covers quite a wide range of different industries and the weather's impact on them. Everything's all from farming to financial trading, film to wars. How did you come to actually write the book, and were there any particular areas or industries that you found really interesting in particular?
Yeah, well, the book is 21 chapters long, so it's got a bit of a length involved. And the reason for that is the weather gets into everybody's life, and including my own from a very young age. I talk about in the book about how the weather got into my bones, not just from a normal standpoint, but from actually thinking that I was at one with the weather. And I could feel it, and I could see it, and I could smell it, and I loved it, and I loved watching it. But over the years, and certainly in a professional life, I became a little bit more entwined in terms of what it actually does, and the impact that is, right across the board. So really from being that sort of teenage boy and moving through into and through school, and then joining the Royal Navy, the British Royal Navy, and being a meteorologist there and traveling the world and really getting into depth with some of the greatest weather I've ever seen. And that's certainly in the book, as far as some of those experiences are concerned. It kind of became ingrained, and then into more like the business world, if you like, when I formed British Weather Services in 1987, long time ago, but weather continues. And really from that point onwards, it was a case of working in the industries and the areas that I talk about within the book, and getting more experience and knowledge as time went on. And given all of that, and my own personal experiences, I came to the point in the life where I thought, I'm really going to write this down, because, and this is why, because the weather is such an impactful thing, and probably arguably the most impactful outside event, if you like, that affects us all, bar absolutely nothing. I have a little poem in the book at the very beginning. I've got one at the end as well, but I'll just read this one if I may. Mm-hmm. I think this encapsulates why the book is so important as far as people reading it and understanding, because it's not an anorak's weather book. This is for everybody, right through the education sectors, business, and then for your bed table at night time. So this is the little poem, and I think this just gives the importance of it. For every drop of rain, for every flake of snow, for every rise and fall in the mercury, for every breath of wind, for every ray of sunshine, for every storm and for every halcyon day, there is a commensurate and measurable impact upon everything and everyone. Understand, act and prosper, or do nothing and fade to grey. And I think that's so important and so pertinent towards what the weather and now climate change does to us.
Absolutely. I mean, yeah, as you said, it's in everything we do. And we're going to go through a few of the sections. I mean, there are so many chapters and such like a wide variety that you cover. But there are a few to go through that I think are quite interesting. Yeah. One of them, I think, is retail, especially at the moment. So retail's had quite a hard hit as of late. And you mentioned a phrase which I think is quite interesting. It's the iceberg and volcano consumables. And this bit piques my interest. So can you explain a bit more about that, and more broadly how you found the weather and retail being affected?
Yeah, I can. I mean, there are actually three chapters on retail, which shows the importance of it. And notwithstanding where we are at this moment in time with the coronavirus, which is obviously had a massive effect on retail. In normal times, if I could call it that, the weather, and particularly those, as you put it, or as I put it, the volcano and the iceberg sort of areas, those are the peaks and troughs, if you like. In other words, the extremes of weather. And it's extremes of weather and climate that actually make for things moving faster than otherwise. So we're talking the extremes of heat. We're talking in both directions, by the way. So the cold and the warm, the prolonged sunshine, the those halcyon days I talk about, all aspects of weather that have got an extreme. You tend to get those sort of the colder and then the hotter peaks, and they have they drive our personal mechanisms, if you like, towards certain things from a comfort point of view. Particularly, we want to feel comforted when the weather is extreme. So those are the times when I think retailers can do particularly well if they're able to not only track the weather, obtain a good forecast ahead of time, and that's extremely important. I do talk about feeling the pulse, making sure you're ahead of the game and not behind it, not getting on board as the weather's already broke, et cetera, et cetera. So to be able to measure the weather, to understand what your whatever you're retailing is how dependent of which type of weather and how far that's going to be, I think is extremely important. And it's very often, and the reason for putting three chapters in there is it's often underdone, underbaked, if you like. And so what I do within the retail chapters is I try to not only describe that and give examples, but I also provide some solutions, some tips, if you like, how retailers can get hold of the weather in a different way and perhaps use it to their advantage. I guess it's called an edge, and everybody wants edges nowadays. So once we overcome the virus and we're into back to normal times, then I guess the weather, and now climate change for moods and fashions, if you like, how the world is now moving towards a sort of greener variety, I think is extremely important for anybody who's in that kind of area.
Have you got any examples of when the weather's been used or tracked well by any retailers?
Yeah, I think there are plenty of them. I think in the United States, because the weather is so much more manifest, I think they're a little bit more used to it. They do feel the pulse. They do act upon it. And in my own personal regards, I do put some examples of where I've been involved, and it doesn't have to be necessarily right out there in the weather. For example, you know, I did some work for a bowling alley firm local to myself, and it was during a heat wave sort of week, if you like. We don't get too many of them, but when we do get them, you know, people sit up and notice. And what was apparent, more apparent in this country, because we don't have air conditioning as much as say parts of the United States or other parts of Europe, but nonetheless, to be able to say to visitors to that particular bowling alley, and I did this in like a voiceover, that, you know, come and get refreshed, come and feel cool, it's that comfort thing again, you know, come to the bowling alley and have a good time. So it was a case of taking people out of that good weather into something that was, I say good, perhaps too hot weather, into something that was a little bit more manageable from a personal comfort point of view. So there are many of those that I've done in my time, some of them very overt ones, some of the obvious ones, you know, Wellington boots in rainy weather. So that is the retailers and sometimes the marketeers I think we're going to come to. These areas are very much at that sort of pinnacle, if you like, when you get this kind of extreme. And so therefore, a meteorologist assisting, or somebody with a meteorological background, even somebody who's appeared in a film about weather, you know, a weather kind of story, if you like, hurricane based stories, those sort of stars, they confront themselves in terms of this type of product or service. And I think that's extremely important for anybody who's trying to retail these things.
Yeah, definitely. And as you said, it kind of leads really nicely onto actually the advertising and marketing around things. So going from retail to the advertising and marketing, how can those industries, I mean, particularly of interest to me within the marketing here, how can you sort of be weather and climate savvy in terms of the advertising you're doing? I know a lot of people sort of plan so far ahead as well with advertising campaigns. Is there something to bear in mind? Yeah.
It's not quite no, there's no panaceas in this. I mean, I'll say that in various parts of the book, when we come to things like sports betting and sports performance and all of that, there's no panaceas. There isn't a gift that I can give people, but there are tips and ways and means by which you can enhance yourself. In other words, so for example, it's a case of where do you get your weather forecast from? For example, is it going to be an iPhone, a little icon that appears, or is it going to be somebody that you know that you ring up, or is it going to be on the television? Because all of those have a variance. And remember, we're talking about forecasts. We're not talking about something that is absolute. You need to be checking these things. So the first thing to say for marketeers is make sure your source of information, where you're getting it from, is reliable. And for the most part, I would say iPhones, the little icons that come up are not necessarily that. And they only give you a little bit of the information that you might require. The second thing to say is act quickly. So I mentioned this terminology again, feeling the pulse. Feel the pulse of the weather, see which direction it's going, get on board quickly. Why quickly? Because if you don't get on board quickly, then somebody else will, your competitors. And if their sound bites are going out on the media streams before yours, then it stands to reason that people are going to go in that direction rather than in your direction. So it's a case of doing that. And it's also, by the way, a case of knowing when to stop, knowing when the weather's broke, so that you don't waste your time, your money and your energy on all of that. I know it's not a panacea. So if you're already sort of signed up for sort of a week and the weather breaks halfway through, well, I guess that's a little bit of tough luck. But if you've got choice about it, particularly on the media streams that are quick, the social media, radio, things like this, so you don't have to plan too far. If you can withdraw when the weather breaks, it's no longer assisting your service or your product, then all the better, because you're not wasting your money. So really, to be sharp, and that's why the marketing side, advertising and marketing, and I don't think they do it particularly well in many, many countries, but I think that it's a suggestive thing. You can get that message across well and across in a timely way, people will respond to it. Your customers will respond to it. So it really is wrapping yourself in those golden clothes to make sure that you don't just survive, but you prosper.
Yeah, definitely. I think there was quite a good example a few weeks ago. I think it's a company called Emily's Crisps. And they're like a really brand new company, and they finally paid for advertising all around London buses as coronavirus and lockdown hit. And they managed to act really quickly and turn it into like something quite funny, and like had a joke around it that they put on their social media, which was pay for an advertisement, they said. It will be great, they said. And there's just like empty streets around it, which actually got them way more engagement than I think it would have.
There are definitely, I think the likes of themselves, and certainly in coronavirus time, the likes of Zoom and Netflix and Amazon and all of these big companies that are out there have done exceedingly well, thank you very much, because not only are they out there, but they're getting their messages out there at a time that people need them. There's no difference. In fact, it continues on and will continue on far beyond the virus, that the weather delivers that kind of a thing, and particularly at these extremes that we talk about. So it's extremely apparent, and I really, really wish people in marketing, and it's not everybody, but I would suggest to you it's most, don't fiddle at the margins and really get into the core of weather impact and how to handle that better. So you know, it's big in the book for that reason. It comes directly after the retail chapters for the same reason.
Yeah. And one of the other topics actually that seems quite obvious, but is actually very layered when you read into it, is health and wellness. So it's not really as simple as it's sunny outside, the good weather makes us feel good. I mean, it does. But there's also quite an interesting part. When you talk about the colour of the sky, and what behavioural scientists know about the impact of colour on us, which I thought was fascinating. Can you explain a bit more?
Yeah, I can. I'm not going to give away the colours except one, okay? Because I will do. There's two other colours as well, but and this actually goes back to one of the first chapters about prehistoric times and early man and what used to happen to them. Because I think we've got to go back and look. We always go back and look to learn. I think it's a good thing to have, or good thing to do, in order that we learn and we don't make the mistakes. So to look back at primitive times and to see how Stone Age men and women used to exist in those times brings us right back to the forward times, because we still inherently have that within us, in our DNA, if you like. It's an imprinted. So these colours, the first one being sky blue, I think it's an obvious one, isn't it? You know, you can look at a sky blue skyline, if you like, you know, you know, it's out there. You open the curtains, the blinds in the morning, and there it is. You will have a different feeling, almost certainly. And I don't mean necessarily people who say live in Las Vegas and they wake up to the same every morning, because sometimes a shed of grey isn't so bad. Yeah. But I think in temperate zones, where the most of the populations live, I think when you wake up and you see the sky blue, you have a different feeling than you do if you wake up and it's slate grey, foggy, dismal and all the rest of it. And that mood is extremely important. That psychological sort of hit first thing will guide you as to what you're next going to do, particularly if it's a leisure day, like a Saturday or a Sunday for most people, that you can go out and decide what you're going to do and why you're going to do it. And again, that leads us down the path of marketing and retail and everything that's followed it. So I think this particular area, the area that we're talking about is again, another one, a behavioral one. And I do, the health and wellness, you will be surprised how deep that actually goes. And I don't just talk about the Black Plague in this and coronavirus a little bit, because that was happening as I was writing the book, so it was becoming more and more apparent. But other aspects as well of many diseases and many things that you know, even down to things like mosquitoes, where they live and how they breed and what might happen into the future. So most of the things that we touch, and the reason for this is, I didn't actually put this in the book, but I'll tell everybody, and that is us and everything on this planet is made exactly the same chemicals as the weather. So we've got an affinity. You're made of the same things that are in rain, as in fog, as in snow, as in every other aspect of weather. It's a driver, and therefore we're at one with this, if you wish to be. It's when we divorce ourselves and don't use it in the right way. And I'll just finish on this one, on this area of well-being and what have you, and that's mental health, because it's so important. And I'm a big believer in the fact that the weather is a driver of that in both directions, both in terms of feeling better and not feeling so good. So I do put some advice in there. I'm not a mental health psychologist in any shape or form, or a doctor or any of these things, but certainly what I've learned over time, I put in a few tips where I can, in terms of saying, you know, what might help. And there's certain things that I do put in the book that suggest that. So hopefully that's a good chapter and a good read.
Definitely. And I often wonder how different our coronavirus would have been in the UK if it had been November and it was raining all the time. So we've had actually some beautiful weather, and perhaps that has been slightly easier on everyone.
I put little polls out on Twitter and other places on this to say how the weather behaved, and you know, how did you, you know, what were your mood? And I think you're exactly right. The spring in the UK and many parts of Europe, in actual fact, was very, very good, dry and sunny and all the rest of it. So people could, if they wished to, get out and do their exercise, go out for a walk, all of these things, especially in the teeth of lockdown. So it was an absolute saviour. And if you're going to look at weather impact in terms of how that might actually materialize, then you know, that is right at the top of this of the tree, if you like, in terms of how we all reacted to it. I know it wasn't everybody's cup of tea, but I think for most people out there, it was a savior. And if it was the other way around, I think there would have been a lot more distress than perhaps there was.
Absolutely. I don't think I would have exercised at all if it was raining outside, so
I did a few times. I still do. But nevertheless, you grin and bear it. And that's an important thing about grin and bear in the weather. But we'll cross that when we come to it.
Brilliant. I do want to talk about the elephant in the room, I guess, which is the climate. So climate change obviously has been always part of the world's agenda, but recently been even more prevalent. And at the end of the book, you sort of go through tips on kind of how to survive the impact and reduce the change. Is there anything you can share from that we can sort of put into practice?
Yeah, I think I've got roughly 10 little hints and what have you. And again, no panaceas. You can't do this on your own. You can feel good on your own. That's the first thing. It's not even a tip. It's just, if you take those actions, and by the way, and I do say in the book, I am an hypocrite, and I'm a bigger hypocrite because I'm a meteorologist, and I've known about this for many, many years, and climate change, etc., etc., and how that might destable the world and what comes. So look, I think the first thing to do is admit if you are, and it isn't by necessarily meaning to be, it's just that the practices that we've, many of us, especially the slightly sort of medium to older generation, have practiced over the last 20 or 30 years have put us into a perilous position. So I don't mince my words in this chapter. I really feel that the end chapter is quite a blunt exercise, if you like. Don't get me wrong, I read it and I think, oh, I really like that chapter. There's a few I do like, actually, personally. You know, they hit your note. And I think this is one of them. And I want to be blunt because it's so important. So that, you know, I'll give you the first one. And you might think, well, what the hell is this doing in this book about, you know, weather impacts? And the first one is actually vote. And when I say vote, I mean, we're talking about election times, whatever elections. Mm-hmm. And I'm saying, if you don't vote, you take yourself out of whatever decisions are made. And remember, some of the solutions to climate change going forward are going to be, in fact, the majority of them are going to be made up by people in power. And if the people in power are reticent to pick up the scientific evidence, which is extremely strong, and I say so in the book and give the examples, then you're lost, because those leaders, and we can probably name a few, I'm sure there's enough out there, and I don't mention them by name, but I certainly mention them by country at this moment in time, that have gone the other direction, and that is to the detriment of this earth and the people on it, in particular the younger generation. So I, as I say, I don't mince my words, but vote when it comes to it. Vote for those that show some of the greener credentials, some of the intentions that will help. Now, don't get me wrong, if we call climate change the Titanic, then the Titanic has hit the iceberg already. I believe that. And the iceberg is sinking, if you get my point.
Yeah.
And that's the state that we find ourselves in the moment. So without being too deep in the gravity of all of this, because most of the book isn't, you know, a lot of the book is quite, it's an easy read. That's the best thing to say. The climate one is a little bit more ingrained and powerful, I'd like to think so, but some of the other ones about music and arts and sports betting and sports per se, and how you can be safe in various types of weather, such as hurricanes, tornadoes, avalanches. So I provide many tips in terms of how to escape these things, or at least preserve yourself as best as you can. And the very many other areas that are in the book. So it is 21 chapters. It could easily be 41, but I had to limit it somehow. It was a lot of writing. It takes, if I can say this, it takes around, if you do cover to cover, it takes 2 hours to read. And I think people who read this book, when they finish with it, if they only take a chapter away or a page, and that's been good for them in whatever way, then I'm pleased and I'm happy for them. It's for the readers, and they won't find all the book of value necessarily, but I'm sure that we'll find the odd page or the odd chapter here, then they can say to themselves, that was worth the read alone. And that's basically, I go back to the start and say, that's basically the reason why I wrote it, so people could take some of the information and some of the positives, if you like, not just the negatives, out of what I've lived for the last 30 odd years doing weather.
Exactly, yeah. I think it's very easy to find the chapters that interest you personally. So yeah, absolutely agree. I mean, lastly, for anyone that's interested in knowing more about you and your work and the book, where can they find some information?
They can, the book itself, our website at British Weather Services, www.britishweatherservices.co.uk, that's got it all over the place. It's got some nice praises as well from different people in different vocations, which is really good. And I'm really, by the way, I didn't mention this one, but the chapter 19, education, 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 to quote a famous prime minister, is really close to my heart. And part of that, again, part of the reason why I wrote this book, because it isn't just a business book. I really believe, truly believe, that this should be within schools, within colleges. I'm not putting myself on a pedestal or the book on it, but I feel it's just slightly better than learning about fronts and highs and lows and all the rest of it. So they can get hold of us through British Weather Services elsewhere. We've got a Twitter handle on there at Brit. Well, I always forget what this is actually. But if you type in British Weather Services, the same thing. In fact, if you type in British Weather Services, full stop, in any of these sort of things, we're on Twitter, Facebook. What's the other one? Twitter, Facebook, and LinkedIn. LinkedIn has got British Weather Services. It's also got me. So if you type in Jim N R Dale, you'll find me, and you're welcome to follow, if that's the right word. Connect, yeah, all of that, and I can tell you more about the book if you need to. You can always send emails, all of that.
Brilliant. And we'll put all the links in the show notes as well. So, Jim, thank you so much for joining us today.
You're welcome. You're welcome. Mm-hmm. Anytime.
And thank you, everyone, for listening. So don't forget to keep an eye on our social media at Lid Publishing on Twitter, Facebook and Instagram for information about new books, experts' opinions and more podcasts with experts such as Jim Dale. So we'll see you next time on Lid Radio Podcast.